Zero Point Radio, brought to you through bbsradio.com. It is Saturday, October the 3rd. My background, I'm a clinical and forensic psychologist, and through my life I was a university professor for 12 years and then worked in the Ontario prison system for 12 years. And over the past 5-6 years, I've worked under the logo of Zero Point, Institute for Mystical and Spiritual Science. I invite listeners to view my website at zeropoint.ca. And there I have a copy, materials from the 6 books I've written on my studies of mysticism and science and the psychology of human consciousness. When I started Zero Point Radio Show 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago, the whole focus was on mystical teachings and science and psychology and such. 3 years ago, I was rather rudely woken up when my youngest son showed me the movie Loose Change, an expose of 9/11, and I began to wake up to the criminality of what's happening in our society and the broader issues facing us now as we move into what's sometimes called the New World Order. I prefer to call it the Old World Psychiatric Disorder, because really the people who have taken controls of our government and countries are really quite psychiatrically disturbed. And we as citizens, we have to wake up and realize the deviousness of what has been done and come together to try to reclaim our countries. So over the past 3 years, I've become more and more political and vocal in my activities, and had to some extent, leave behind some of the mystical studies. As I think, in a way, we need, this is a spiritual war occurring on planet Earth. There really are evil influences and individuals on this planet who seek ill for millions of people around the world. And people are waking up to the crimes of these elites as they never have before in modern human history. People are realizing the corporate media are complete liars. They're not paid to inform you of what's happening. In fact, their whole intention is to deceive you, to give you titillation and spin and propaganda, so you really have no idea of what's going on in the world and the deviousness of what is being fashioned around us. We're in very critical times on this planet. The World Health Organization now has the mandate to be able to enforce inoculations on over 160 countries around the world. We don't know that these new flus aren't recombinants being produced by these pharmaceutical companies and the biolab research centers themselves. Things like AIDS and Ebola and the anthrax issues all seem to tie into the same bioweapons producers. At this point, we're facing enforced inoculations, and on the internet, it's all over the internet, that the inoculations to prevent swine flu are coming on the market not properly tested, in order to make billions of dollars for the pharmaceutical mafia. Doctors and other people in other areas are being intimidated into having these inoculations by threat of being jailed or shot or quarantined or put in camps. And this is being fashioned within our society. If we look at the history of inoculations, you see most of the time the inoculations cause more diseases and pandemics than they prevent. In fact, now it's beginning to be wondered if any of them were ever useful. The elites have spread diseases through our society through all these enforced inoculations. Children in the States now have to have 24 of them by the time they're 4 years old. You also now have 1 million autistic children in the United States. And the incidence of Alzheimer's and other degenerative disorders and respiratory disorders, it's increasing among the population. And our health agencies aren't really protecting us. They, in a way, they become complicit because they're controlled by the same multinational corporations. And the media go along and sell you these products and create terror and fear so that you want to rush out to have vaccinations to put poisons in your blood and the blood of your children. These things are atrocious that are being done. The people who bring you 9/11 now have vaccines for you. And they'll spray you tomorrow with chemtrails. The day after, they'll fluoride your water. We are facing serious problems in waking up to the criminality of the elites and what's being done in our country. And we have to rise up around the world to oppose these enforced inoculations and demand criminal inquiry into how this whole scheme is being put forward and who's behind it and why they cover up all the negative data and why it's sold to the public as a matter of public health. See, people, we've been sold out by the CMA, the Canadian Medical Association, and the American Medical Association, and the Food and Drug Association, and Health Canada. These agencies no longer protect our health, but are controlled by the same elitists who control our government. We're facing serious problems in this country of Canada, as the people and you people in the United States and in other countries of the world. We're all facing the same foe. Fortunately, there's a mass awakening around the world, enabled largely through the internet and activists around the world who are taking up different issues and trying to wake people up. We need to come together and realize the situation we're in. So unfortunately then, my focus has shifted in part from my mystical studies into looking at the political situation and things happening within Canada and around the world. And I need to keep that focus up. I'm hoping next week to actually get back to mystical studies and do a review of the Dalai Lama's book called The Universe in a Single Atom. And with that, I'm going to bring my co-host, James Moffat, on, and we're going to just be fairly brief because I have a first guest on for the first hour of the show, and then we'll take a second break and halfway through the show and bring on the new leader-elect of the Canadian Action Party, and the president of the Canadian Action Party, and we'll take some phone calls. So I'm going to try to keep us to an agenda here and move along. And Jim, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks.
Jim, do you have a copy of that Dalai Lama's book?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I thought you said you'd got a copy. Yeah, it was among the burnt books I saved from my house, and my house burnt down. I managed to keep my copy of that.
I was really
enjoying it. So I wondered, can you make the effort that we'll do a book review on that in our next show, and we'll get back to the mystical studies for 1 hour of the week anyway?
Yeah, I just read the introduction. I haven't actually read the book, but I'll take a look at it and try to get through as much as I can of it before the next show.
Yeah, great. Great.
By the way, just, you know, as a dissenting opinion here, I think, like, in your opening statement, you rolled a whole bunch of things together that, I mean, I have extreme difficulty with a lot of the things that you said. I mean, I just don't think that they're true, and I don't think they're substantiated at all. I mean, I would agree with a lot of the things you said. I just don't believe that they're as encompassing or as interrelated as perhaps you suggested. And, I mean, I still can't, for the life of me, where exactly are people being forced to take inoculations for the swine flu? I mean, everything I read and everything I see, there's, like, quite widespread resistance amongst the general populace to the idea of even taking the vaccinations, never mind anybody enforcing them. The only place I've heard where they were enforced was in New York State amongst hospital workers. But, I mean, I heard something.
Yes, it's being hidden from you, and we have a guest today who's going to talk about it being forced on hospital workers where he isn't even a healthcare staff. And he's being threatened with his job in Canada, and it's happening all across the states. And I don't know what your sources are. If you're reading the Toronto Star and the Globe and Mail, like, these people cover up all these things. I mean, you have to go on the internet and listen to alternative broadcasting.
Well, but that doesn't mean it's right just because it's on the internet. I'm just saying, I heard somebody from the Ontario government who's doing research on the swine flu last week say that this is a doctor who's an epidemiologist, and she said one of the questions that we really haven't answered from last year is how many people actually got the swine flu, which is an important question, because she said her point was, look, you know, a lot of people may have got it and their own bodies resisted and they didn't get sick, and she said that's kind of important to determine. And then at the end of the program, what she said was, you'd never want to make this choice, but she said, given the choice of getting the swine flu or the seasonal flu, I'd much rather get the swine flu than the seasonal flu. She said, I just don't think it's that dangerous.
I don't think the flu is that dangerous. And that's why what's dangerous is the enforced inoculations. But let's leave this aside for today, because our guest also is an activist and more knowledgeable even than I think in this area. So why don't we introduce her and we can return to this discussion, and, you know, we can have dissenting views. I mean, you and I do disagree on how much we see an organized criminal cabal behind this whole thing, which is how I see it. And you think, I'm not sure you see it more as individual kind of criminal corporations and individuals. But I see it as a much more systematic effort. But anyway, let's move aside and introduce our first guest. We were a little late getting on air today because of the phone line issues and such. Our first guest is Dee Nicholson. And in Canada, Dee is spearheading the opposition to Bill C-6, an act respecting consumer products. And this bill, which passed through our House of Commons, I'm not sure whether it was unanimously, but then has moved on to the Senate of Canada. And there has been some opposition to this bill, which allows for all types of police state powers, and it may eventually be used to bring about their aim of establishing Codex Alimentarius, where they can deny consumers health products and vitamins and supplements and things along this line. So Dee has helped to spearhead the anti-Bill C-6 program in Canada, and also is very concerned about the enforced inoculations. So Dee, I'll allow you to introduce yourself and maybe give any websites or contact information, and then maybe you tell us a little bit about BC6 and how this is a threat to Canadians.
It's a huge threat, an absolutely gigantic threat. It is probably the greatest threat to our freedom ever to enter our parliament. And the reason that it is a huge threat is because of those unconstitutional moves in the language. They abolish the law of trespass. They provide for warrantless search and seizures. They provide for warrantless, unsupervised by a court, detention, containment, confinement, fines, the lack of recourse to a court. All of these things are in this bill in bits of language scattered throughout, and in fact, Senator Jerry Grafstein identified the main clauses, as I believe clause 57 through 61. Every single one of them is an assault against our Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which, as all Canadians should know, is their rights in a box. And it applies no matter who is the offender, no matter what crime has been committed, murderers, child rapists, anybody who is arrested, anyone who is named as an offender in any way, shape, or form in this country has the right of due process of law. And anybody who watches CSI Miami or any one of the Law and Order type shows knows that due process of law is accorded to anyone who offends. Well, not according to Bill C-6.
Yeah.
Bill C-6 removes that.
This upsets our Bill of Rights, Charters of Rights and Freedoms of Canadians.
Exactly, and it does so for a specific reason. Now, Jim was talking about how he doesn't see a system in place that is that organized. Well, let me tell you, this system that is in place has been in place for 150 years. They've had plenty of time to set it up. Those who don't see the system have simply not looked far enough back to understand that this has been a gradual process of taking over our lives and treating us as though we were feudal serfs. And it has gone on for a very, very long time. It started around the time of the Industrial Revolution, which, in fact, was the historical point in time at which the rich started to be shoved aside a little bit by the average little guy who could come up with an invention or a product or a factory somewhere that could then get rich and powerful and start challenging the very landowners themselves. So they were pretty smart. They knew they couldn't stop progress, so instead they joined it. And so what happened was you had a natural confluence of the very, very wealthy, the titled landowner, the barons, the counts, the royalty, all of this, the elite, came into play side by side with the corporate masters who were then emerging. And ever since then, it has been a system of putting in place things that would constantly feed that, all of the national products, all of the gross national products of all these different countries into their pockets, and they've done a very, very astonishing job. That's one of the problems with getting people to understand that there's a system, is that they look at what's going on and they say, this is too massive. How could anybody have a system? Well, the reason it's that massive is because they grew it from a tiny root, and that tiny root was greed. And let me make another point here. There is nothing going on here that is diverse from spirituality. Not a thing. Nothing is diverse from spirituality. By giving up our humanhood, by allowing other people to make decisions that we ourselves should have been making all along, by refusing to participate in the political process because we had too much on our own plates, okay, what we did was we gave up our God-given right to choose. We gave up many things that are ours. We even gave up the ability to discern what to choose. And so in reclaiming our spirituality, we are in fact reclaiming our power and reclaiming our ability to see the truth and to use it for our benefit, which is the only purpose for which it exists, is for our benefit. It's not to be used against us. Well, now we see ourselves in a situation where, as Jim so ably pointed out, no, nobody's talking about there's going to be mandatory vaccinations in Canada. They're not saying that. But what they are doing is they're ramping up the fear. And by ramping up the fear, what they do is they ramp up agreement with the shot. They do so by little tricks like sending a bunch of body bags to Indian reserves. They do that by claiming that remote communities have H1N1 infections and need to be quarantined, okay, which they already are by virtue of their location. A house it in BC is one of those examples. And Reverend Kevin Annette is currently trying to find out exactly what these people were vaccinated with. But
they're all sick in one community where there were over 100 people sick, he said in one of his emails. I thought it was a Tamiflu.
Well, this is what they were told. They were given shots, from what Kevin told me. They were given shots and they were told it was Tamiflu. Tamiflu is not a shot. Tamiflu is pills.
Oh.
But they were given shots. Shots of what?
Oh,
they don't
yeah.
even know. But under the Indian Act, which is over 150 years old and is totally apartheid and ought to be stricken from the Canadian books of law, that particular act says that they may not refuse medical treatments of any variety. It's called shut up and take your shot. These people are treated and designated as second-class citizens, and they are a bellwether of what's happening to the rest of us. Because the minute they take our rights away via C6, nothing's going to happen immediately. Nothing. This is how they play it. They get the stuff in place, and then they yank it out on demand later.
Yeah, they do things incrementally, so it all seems reasonable. Like the way they use their doublethink to give it such, like, a title, an act for protection of consumer, like it's for consumer safety. Or what's the exact phrase of that, a bill respecting?
Product safety and disrespecting the rights of Canadians is what it ought to read.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's so what it ought to read, but it has nothing to do. This is how they play the game. They do a red herring game, and they lead people off in a certain direction. They say that, and I'll give you two examples here that are current. Okay, C6 purports to be an act respecting the safety of consumer products in Canada. It purports to be. In fact, the legislation includes language. That language may be imported by order in council, privately, published in the Canada Gazette twice, becomes law against other legislation without parliamentary oversight, without any kind of advice to the Canadian public, without any debate, any discussion. It just, boom, becomes law, and then you're stuck.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, trying to repeal a law is a whole lot more difficult than to enact a law, and enacting a law is tremendously difficult. So you're dealing with a situation here where they've got us red-herringed into thinking that, no, shots aren't going to be mandatory, and no, our government isn't there to hurt us, they're there to protect us. Nothing could be more laughable.
Dee, on the second half of the show today, we have a hospital worker from Canada who's being threatened in his job position if he doesn't take the enforced inoculations. See, they just lie.
Oh, I know many of them.
They just lie, and then they put pressure on people in upper levels of hospital management and in all their little hierarchy of servants they have Canada and other places to put pressure on people within different facilities.
Well, yes, and they do it economically. That's their first and most effective ploy, is to do it economically. Of course, the government can't threaten your job. Okay? They don't have that kind of control over corporations. But what they do have is the ability to, you know, stop funding or stop granting or deny tax relief to major corporations unless they comply and have all of their staff vaccinated. So, yes, they're doing it secondhand, and this is another trick that our government likes to use. Make somebody else the bad guy.
Yeah.
Make somebody else the bad guy. Now, we looked, in terms of determining what was going on, we don't confine our searches to Canada, because what's happening, if you know anything about law, you know that there's almost no original law anywhere in the world. It's copied, always copied from somewhere else, and mostly it's copied through the British system of judicial courts and legalities. And so consequently, we look at things like the Model Emergency Health Protection Act passed during the second half of the Bush regime. And what that was a draft piece of legislation that said, in the case of an emergency, the states will do this. And that act has been ratified by most states. It is now being put into process by most states, and it does indeed have forced vaccination, most particularly in the state of Massachusetts, where they state that the only exemption is going to be if you're allergic to what's in the shot. Well, my response to that is, everybody's allergic to what's in the shots. I don't know about you, but I'm allergic to formaldehyde. I prefer to pickle frogs with that.
And
squalene, it
seems, is this new oil-based product that
poisons. Oh, squalene. Yeah, let's get on to squalene for a hot second here.
Yeah, good.
Squalene. Squalene is an oil-based adjuvant. An adjuvant is something that is used to boost the immunogenicity of a vaccine. In other words, it's a super irritant. It's designed to cause the body to get much more immunity. They use adjuvants when they want to boost effectiveness on a vaccine when their starter mix isn't sufficient to do all the vaccine. They add an adjuvant so that their starter mix can be diluted and therefore spread over many, many, many more vials. So in other words, it's the cheap way out. Even though vaccines are never a good way out of anything because they've never worked, and there's never been a vaccine in history that has done what it was supposed to do. And if you dig into the proper studies, you'll find that out. And we're not talking junk science here. We're talking peer-reviewed studies that have been suppressed and instead supplanted by the biased and vested interests that are,
I mean,
making money.
The science offered by the pharmaceutical corporations and the government are quack science.
They present
the quack science.
Absolutely.
They present it as scientific, and then they obstruct the people knowing negative results, and they obstruct people who come forward to claim that these inoculations are damaging.
Oh, they go farther than that. There's more than 40 world-renowned microbiologists who have died under somewhat spurious circumstances since about 2003. And it started with around the anthrax attack, the first one that was sourced back to Fort Dix. And, of course, it's gotten real interesting since then because people have gotten very aware and very smart in how they investigate. And there are a lot of whistleblowers coming out now because these people who are involved in these schemes just cannot stand the fact of what's being done. You know, I mean, you realize that what is done for it, what's sauce for the goose here is sauce for the gander, and the gander is their own families and children and grandchildren and their descendants from here on in. What is being done now is going to take away freedom for your own grandchildren. Now, if you're listening to this stuff and you're aware of this stuff, how do you justify working on a job? Right? To keep a roof over your head, you're working on a job and you're killing humanity. How do you justify that? I don't know. We just hope that the people who are listening to us, who are reporting back to their masters, are thinking before they make their reports, are thinking before they implement things against humanity. Because, in fact, there's no getting off this marble. This is where we are. You know, what's sauce for one is sauce for all. And they don't seem to get that. Now, the elite seem to be isolated and insulated to a large extent, or at least they think they are. But, you know, in pointing back again to that mysticism and spirituality, it says in every faith in the world that what you do comes back to you.
Yeah, karma.
Now, I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of what they're doing, quite frankly, and therefore I would make a choice against doing it. And that's my cleft in the rock, because if you don't sow it, you can't reap it. And that's what I'm trying to teach people, is get to a place in your own mind where you know you are doing no harm. That is your protection. That's your ultimate spiritual protection. If you do no harm to anyone. Now, on having said that, you know, for people who say to me, well, what are you doing? Aren't you doing harm to the elite by talking like this? Well, no, I'm spreading the truth. The truth is what it is. And if the elite don't like the truth that they've written, they should have written something else. And that's all. I bear no responsibility for what somebody else did.
It's a unique time, Dee, in terms of, I don't think the public awareness has ever been there to the extent that it is now of criminality of these elites. To me, the major event was 9/11. Like, you just see how that was a complete fraud, and that the media, the corporate media, have all intentionally deceived the American and Canadian public.
Oh,
like,
yes.
It all fits together when you begin to see the patterns.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, but then again, you have to go back to the old question of cui bono, who benefits? Follow the money. Edward Bernays, who is known as the father of propaganda, and because the old fart lived to be 104 years old, has advised every president from Woodrow Wilson all the way up to Bill Clinton before he passed from the mortal coil. This guy was the nephew of Sigmund Freud, and he wrote a book called Propaganda. He devised from Freud's work the means of controlling people through control of information. And he himself says in the first chapter of the book Propaganda, which I advise everyone, go online, Google it, you can download it for free. It's not a big download. Read it. Get a load of what your mind has been subject to for every day of your life and every day of your parents' lives. Get a load of that, and then you'll understand exactly how they build a paradigm. But what does he say to get out of it? He says, follow the money. Just like any good detective would, follow where the benefit goes and what that benefit is, and you'll figure out what the story is. That's what I've been doing, and that's what a lot of activists like me have been doing. And this is why this information is coming out, because once you see the source, the root of the weed, then you can pull it from the root. If you chop it off, it's going to regrow. You have to pull it from the root.
Yeah.
There's no question. Everything in life is analogous.
It's like these enforced inoculations are another symptom of the same underlying disease.
Absolutely,
and we can't just all the time be fighting off these different attacks upon us.
But we have to identify what exactly is the threat here.
Yeah.
What exactly is the threat? Well, the threat exactly is the fact that these shots aren't necessarily the danger that is really upon us right now, okay? Where the danger is in the elements that are in the shots that are future-oriented. The squalene, let's get back to the squalene for a hot second. Okay, the squalene is otherwise known as shark fin oil, and a lot of people take shark fin oil because it's highly beneficial to the brain and to the nervous system. Well, that's if you eat it. If you take it into the bloodstream, it causes your system to become, your whole body becomes allergic to squalene in its natural situation, which is in your nervous system and in your brain. And if it does that, it can cause you to die on the spot. It can cause you to have paralysis on the spot. It can cause you to have neuromuscular disorders later in life. And here's another thing about squalene. If you Google male contraception and squalene, you will find numerous references proving that squalene in another form has been used as and considered as a male contraceptive for a number of years because it reduces the sperm count from 50% down.
Okay, I think there's been some telephone connection problem here, and we lost Dee, and I hope she'll be joining me again in a moment. She was just talking about squalene and the threat of that. One bit of information I heard about or read about squalene is that it was in the shots given in the anthrax vaccination to the American soldiers in the Gulf War, and there ended up being 190,000 vets who suffered from what is called the Gulf War syndrome. And apparently the amount of squalene in the new shots is 600 times as high. Not only that, but through the inoculations, people are introducing all kinds of viral and genetic matter from other organisms and recombinant substances. The whole process is just so unnatural. So the threat of the swine flu really, it's played up by the media and made to engender fear in people so that they want your shots, and then the shots are what are really likely to be most dangerous to you. The people.
Okay, we're back now. Here's the thing I was about to say. I hesitate almost to say this to you, but what I'm hearing, and this is rumor, please don't take it as fact, but it really bears consideration. What I'm hearing is because of the fact that they are advising now multiple shots, first you get the H1N1 shot, then you get your seasonal flu shot, and the thinking that I've got coming forward to me now is there may be binary agents involved. In other words, an agent that is in one shot combines with an agent from the second or third shot, producing what is known as a cytokine storm. Now, a cytokine storm, if you Google that, you'll find out what it is. That's spelled C-Y-T-O-K-I-N-E, cytokine. Now, that storm is essentially, it's a total overload of your immune system, of your immune response, and it literally can crash all your body systems. The other bit of information, which is a little less mainstream than the cytokine storm, is that these binary agents may, in fact, produce plague. Now, wouldn't that be a
story? Sorry, plaque?
Plague. As in smallpox, as in bubonic, something with an extremely high kill rate. Now, if you will recall, even Prince Charles a number of years ago said that if there's such a thing as reincarnation, he wanted to come back as a very, very nasty virus.
Yeah, he did.
So that he could depopulate. If you go back into the Halo-Kissinger Amendment 1974, if you look at Agenda 21, if you look at any of the historical records that are now coming out and what people have said, look at what Robert McNamara, former head of the World Bank, former Secretary of State for the United States or Secretary of Defense or some such thing, came out and said that what was happening there was essentially that there was an agenda to depopulate the earth by 90%. So it's getting to be really, 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 you know, dangerous. And what it's really about is the depopulation aspect. This doesn't have anything to do with a flu. This has to do with they're taking over, and to take over, they have to get rid of the rest of us.
Yeah, these people are actually eugenicists, and as you say,
That's exactly what they are.
Objective is to maintain the population on the planet below 500 million. That's what's printed on the Georgia Guidestones in the States,
close to
Atlanta there, where they've piled up the 30,000 or 300,000 body coffins. In Atlanta, Georgia. It's like everything is there. It's just people can't grasp it. It's so horrifying to actually grasp what is being done to us, and then to see the patterns of this through history. Like, this in a way is nothing new. They decimated the native populations by spreading smallpox through their communities by giving them blankets.
They're still assaulting the native communities. And they're either doing it with vaccinations, or they're doing it with bad water. They're doing it with all kinds of means, all of which are detrimental to the human being, all of which are dangerous and deleterious to human health. And why are they doing this? Well, if you dig back into Indian affairs, what you will find is that, gee, communities of natives all of a sudden went down to strange diseases just before their heads were counted to determine exactly how much land to give them under the reserve system.
Wow. It's so disgraceful. It's so disgusting to look at the history, the real history of our government. And it's like so much of what we've been educated into has been a lie. It's all been based on lies. Our democracy is based on lies. Our impartial media is based on lies. Our responsible government is based on lies. It's shocking. It's horrifying to wake up really to what's been done in our name and now it's being done to us. It's like the white people and middle class people and people in Canada, you know, we've always had it so good and we haven't reined in our own government. And now the karma's about to come back upon us unless we take responsibility in our society to oppose these things.
Well, this is it. This is exactly it. I mean, we have to realize that, you know, guess what, Virginia? There is a Satan. You know, in terms of what's going on in this world right now, there is such evil afoot that people really cannot grasp the magnitude of it. And I don't blame them for that. You can't blame them for that.
No, I agree.
For all this time, it's like you have to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They indeed do not know. And they have trusted their handlers all the way along. They have gone blithely along like sheep in a pasture,
exactly.
Not realizing what's being done to them, not paying any attention, basically just trying to struggle through their lives as best they could.
Yeah.
In the meantime, they've been subject to propaganda which broke down the family support system over the last 100 years. They've been subject to financial pressures which again have broken down the family support system. We now do not turn to our families for support. We turn to the government. In fact, the family is now breaking down to such an extent that literally you're isolating people emotionally from all of the things that would keep them able to think.
Yeah.
You know, when you feel isolated and unsupported, it is not easy to come up with good solutions for things. It's not easy to be rational. Not at all, because you're afraid, and they know that fear, and bear in mind what fear is, false evidence appearing real, is what fear is.
Yeah.
It's never of present time, it's always of the future. You can't fear what's in your face, you have to deal with it.
Well, it's an odd definition of fear a bit, because in a way, people should have a genuine fear, like a fear concerning the safety of themselves and their children.
No, I don't agree.
No.
I don't agree. Your spiritual safety is paramount. It's paramount. You're either your body or you aren't. If you have fear for your body, then you aren't being your spiritual self, because the bodies are just the coat we wear. But having said that, okay, fear is not what we should be experiencing. Fear is debilitating. Fear causes you to be unable to think. So what instead I would say is that people need to take a healthy respect for the truth, understand what they're dealing with, and worry about what they can do, not what they can't do.
Yeah.
Keep it
reality-based.
Keep your feet on the ground. Keep informing yourself. If you don't know something, don't ask your neighbor. Go find out yourself. Stop being lazy in your life. Use the computer for more than a chat line.
Yeah, Dee, in what I usually say is that what we need to have is courage. And the term courage actually comes from French, meaning la cour, for heart. So it encourages having a new heart. And what I teach is that I believe from my mystical studies that a person's true self is connected to the heart, and that it's like people have to awaken in the heart and realize our responsibility for dealing with this situation and for our fellow human beings. Like, we have to have people awakening in the heart and realize
okay,
we need to come
together.
Do
you know what the main blockade to that is?
Well, fear.
The main blockade to that is that the heart is already overburdened with emotions coming from information that is so frightening that the heart, in fact, puts a wall up around itself to defend itself. That's what happens. And so
yeah.
I would agree with you. You have to have your emotional basis in line. You have to have a balance between emotion and information.
Yeah.
Realizing that emotion is simply a physical response to information. If your information is scary, your emotional response is going to be fear. If the information is gentle, then your response is going to be a breath of relief.
Yeah.
It's very simple how it works. But the thing is, if you're allowing yourself to go into rank fear over every fact that comes across the airwaves or that you read over the internet or that you read in the paper, then all you're going to be is a leaf in a windstorm. So you have to get your feet on the ground based in the truth first. It's called critical thinking, and that is what Erickson proved, that critical thinking is the way past propaganda. Well, that is the same kind of thinking that Bernays talked about when he said, follow the money.
Yeah.
Exactly, another
anecdote, I think, lead to fear is taking action. Like, if people fall into fear and then become more and more isolated and just concerned with their own safety. Whereas I find if you take action, even if it's only talking to your family, calling a radio show, writing a letter, like doing something that is taking action. And then
Please let me make a point here. I have to say, on what you just said, that is exactly what we need. Okay? People need to look at what's going on, and they need to start being the squeaky wheels. We all know squeaky wheels get the grease. Our little organization at falseflagflu.com, the Canadians for Health Freedom, is an umbrella group that has brought all kinds of different groups with different concerns together, the Fluoride Action Network, the Anti-Vaccine Resistance Movement, Freedom in Canadian Healthcare, the Natural Health Products Protection Association. All these different groups came together for one common cause. And what are they doing? Every single one of them is blizzarding the Senate right now with, don't you dare take our rights away. Don't you even consider it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's excellent.
And what has happened has been that there has been a split in the Senate. We noticed that for the first time in my living memory, the Prime Minister suspended the Senate.
Wow. When did that happen?
He went to the G20 meeting in Pittsburgh, but he suspended the Senate on the very day after all of our emails started hitting the Senate saying, this is treasonous, don't you dare.
Wow.
And the minute all that happened, all of a sudden the Senate gets adjourned for a week until he can come back. Now he's back, and we understand that the caucus senators are under a great deal of pressure, you know, being told you must follow the party line. Well, there's a few senators in there who aren't members of the caucus. They may be declared as liberal or conservative, but they are not caucus members and therefore are not subject to the party line. Senator Elaine McCoy is one of those, and we honor her efforts. She is really, really a true Canadian, thinking on behalf of Canadians and not on behalf of a party. And what we need to do is we need to get on our high horses and we need to ride like hell, because if we don't, our Charter of Rights and Freedoms is going to be exactly what George Bush called the U.S. Constitution, just a damn piece of paper.
Yeah.
And I'm quite frankly, I said to Parliament in a letter that I wrote last week that went to all parliamentarians and all senators, I said I was not born into a barbaric country and I have no intention of dying in one.
Wow.
And that is the case. Our country is going back to barbarism in terms of a lack of laws that protect its citizens.
Yeah, lack of concern for our fellow citizens. It just astonishes me. You know, one of my big issues is chemtrails. And to think, how perverse are these people who will spray us with barium, aluminum, heavy metals, and they're aerosolizing their own bioweapons, and they would do this. They fly over a whole city, all over the sky, and they're poisoning us. And the government does nothing. Everyone denies it then, pretends it's something other than poisons. It's astonishing.
Oh, they it's not just that they that they deny it. They participate in it. Not only do they participate in it, then they participate further by lying about it.
Yeah.
If you put in a Freedom of Information Act request on chemtrails, what you will find is, oh, they're to counteract global warming, which again is another fraud. If you look at the temperature charts, our planet is cooling, not warming. And how do they account for weather agitation on other planets? SUVs?
Yeah.
You know, and where are the unvaccinated autistic children? Where are they? Produce the bodies. That's what we say. Produce the bodies. And let's see our the body count between natural medicine and allopathic medicine. Let's see who kills their patients and who doesn't.
Yeah.
Let's have the truth and the proof on the table. There's lots of proof out there. Why aren't we demanding it? Again, there are no innocent civilians here. You're either part of the solution or you are definitely part of the problem. And it has come down to that. The wheat is being separated from the chaff. And if you're smart, you're going to go on the wheat side, not the chaff side.
Yeah, and save your souls. It is a matter of saving your souls. You see how these elites sell their souls for material gain and their greed and their sexual perversions and their lust for power because of their own inner feelings of inadequacy. They strive for this money, sex, and power and have no heart for fellow human beings.
Oh, yes. But again, on the forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do side, you have to realize they're raised in this. They know nothing else. They believe they're correct. They have been totally indoctrinated generation to generation. Why do you think they've protected their bloodline so carefully? And yet you'll find all races in the elite structure. You'll find them all there. So it's not really about the actual blood. What it is about protecting the knowledge, separating themselves. And if you go into documents like the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, okay, now a lot of people have tried to debunk that, but, you know, debunk it away. I don't care. If you look at what's said there, you'll see it in operation in society today. You'll see everything in there in operation. Well, even Henry Ford spotted that in 1917 and said exactly the same thing that I just said. You may disagree with the authenticity of this document, but look around you. You can see it everywhere. One of the things that's said in that document is that if we, the sheeple, if we, the goyim that are referred to in that document, ever find out about the one, they are finished.
Wow.
In other words, if we discover our own equality, as in we are all part of the same thing, nobody gave them a mandate to sit on our heads, then we become equal to them, and their power evaporates like air.
Yeah, we pull down that curtain they hide behind.
Yeah.
And they're exposed.
It's called, hello,
people.
Wizard of Oz, my, aren't you a little shrimp?
Yeah.
And we outnumber them by 6 billion to one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there you go. And as far as I'm concerned, one of my favorite quotes these days is one from Roy Rogers. You remember Roy Rogers?
Yeah, I do.
Cowboy. And he said, no man on earth can stop a stampede. And to that I add, but it only takes a few to start one.
Wow, a stampede, that's right. When people really begin to wake up.
V for Vendetta. Look at V for Vendetta. The winning moment in the film is not when V blows up the Parliament buildings. It's when the people show up on the Parliament doorstep and say, no more. We're not doing it anymore.
And then the soldiers turn. They turn.
They realize
that they've become part of a criminal system.
That's right.
Which is like what we need. We need our police and military and medical people to turn, to say, no, this is enough. This is insanity.
These orders are illegal. Yes, these orders are illegal that they're being forced to follow.
Exactly.
Oath Keepers is trying to do that. Now you'll notice that they're pulling an end run on sheriffs in the states who are the elected officials. They're banishing sheriffs out of, the sheriff out of Hardin, Montana. They've replaced it with a group called, APF, and they are a private, paramilitary police force that is, I mean, they're mercenaries, okay, and they've been brought in to police Hardin and to run the prison But these guys are driving around saying that they're police. They're not police.
No.
They're not.
I mean,
they have no legal right to exist.
We are going to need to finish up because I had some other guests and I wanted to take a break before we go on. Thank you very much for coming today.
You're most welcome. Can you give any
contact information you have out?
Yes, if people want to get informed on all of the issues upon which I've touched in the last hour, please go to www.falseflagflu.com. You will find there not only all the information that I've just given you, but also you will find all the tools to become active in your own community, and this is what's needed today.
Thank you very much, Dee, and I hope you'll honor us and come back another time.
You know my email address, and all you got to do is ask.
Because I'd like to follow up on what's happening with Bill C-6, and you take us through the steps. You know, and I have a show every second week, and if there's something to report in that struggle, and I urge Canadians, contact your senators. Say enough is enough. We want our rights and freedoms as Canadian citizens. We're tired of the criminality of these people.
Sample letters are available for the lazy on the site.
Yeah, great. Okay,
okay.
Well, I'll let you go, Dee. Thanks very
Thank
much.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
So I don't know if Don at BBS has been able to set up a song that I was hoping he might play today. If he has, it's called Sacred Land by Robin, native of Canada. Thank you.
I remember all the stories my grandpa used to tell about a time in this sacred land. The buffalo did roam out on the open plain. The eagle soared high up in the sky. There wasn't any shame, there wasn't any pain. Yes, he said, they were so very proud. They lived a simple life. Mother Nature did provide. There was no law, but there was no crime. And then the white man came. He brought his well up. The day the white man came. Yes, they brought their whiskey and they brought their guns. They took away our land. They put us on the run. Locked us on this reservation, changed our ways of life. Promises were made, but they were only lies. And then the white man came. They will rise. All the chiefs from long ago, they will be by your side. Into the battleground, a warrior you will ride. Armed with years of wisdom, many years of pride. Yeah.
What a wonderful song. And I thank Robin, Canadian native man, for that composition. And Robin's also a CAP member, Canadian Action Party. And that's what I've become involved in, trying to help in this terrible situation we're all facing and to work with other people who are similarly minded. And today I'm honored to have on the new interim leader of the Canadian Action Party. And this lady was voted unanimously in by the executive of CAP, and we're in the process of taking our party back from digressions and obstructions and such, and we hope to move again onto the Canadian political scene. And so I'm honored today to introduce Melissa Braid. Hi, Melissa. Thank you for joining us today.
Hello, Christopher. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to participate in your radio show. I really appreciate the chance to get to talk to Canadians and members of the Canadian Action Party. It's really exciting.
Yeah, thank you. Great. Maybe, Melissa, you might begin just by giving us some background, where you're from and what you do in life and who you are, okay?
Sure, thank you. Well, I became involved with the Canadian Action Party in 2006. Prior to that, I was involved in the natural health products movement. I've always been concerned about my health. I've always chose natural alternatives. And I was also very interested in what was going on in the war in Afghanistan and Iraq. I had numerous questions about 9/11, and one of my friends in the 9/11 Truth Movement had sent me some information about the weaponry that was being used in Iraq and Afghanistan in the form of depleted uranium. Now, this was something I had previously heard nothing about, and at the time, I was about 3 or 4 months pregnant with my second child. So I went on the internet, I researched this thoroughly, came across all sorts of information about the use of this weaponry, the horrific genetic damage that were happening in these countries where DU had been used, the birth defects in babies, the cancerous effects on the civilians in these areas, the soldiers that were coming back with radiation damage, and their governments weren't willing to acknowledge this, but yet they would go to other countries and get tested for radiation, and they would find that they were riddled with it. And, you know, I must say the knowledge of this information just damaged me on a human level I can't even express. I find that there are certain issues that will open up this awareness to people. You know, not everybody can connect with the same issue and gain the interest in the issue that will open up Pandora's box to all the rest of the connections. You know, but for me, that was depleted uranium.
And well, as an expectant mother, I mean, just imagining that for your own child and the horror of what those poor mothers and children have to deal with. I can understand that sensitivity.
It was another
rude awakening for you.
Where did
that then lead, Melissa?
Of course, I was outraged. I started emailing my members of parliament in the area. I started emailing the opposition parties and getting no response whatsoever. I found it absolutely egregious that we as Canadians were participating in this. Essentially, we're the world's leader in uranium exports, that uranium is enriched and refined for use in reactors and nuclear weapons, primarily in the United States. And then the depleted uranium byproduct is sent back to Canada to a refinery in Port Hope, where they create DU metal with it, and then once again send it back free to the weapons manufacturers in the United States to create DU metals. And you know, you would think that this would be a violation of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, but they seem to be getting around it. I got no response from anybody on these issues. It just frustrated me to no end. So I started searching for alternatives, the ways that I could participate in getting this information out to my friends, to my neighbors, to other mothers, to peace groups, and I came across the Canadian Action Party, the only party that had a strong stance, not only against the war, but against the weaponry that was being used that was causing so much suffering. You know, I perused CAP's policies, I connected with some of the other candidates, and Connie Fogel, who was leader at the time, and I was so terribly impressed by everything that CAP was discussing, everything that CAP was trying to bring to the forefront of the truth movement, that I put my name in for candidacy, and successfully ran as a candidate in the 2008 federal election. When I say successful, successfully. You know, I wasn't elected as MP, but I made a tremendous impression in my riding, and you know, I felt that it was really impactful to even be able to go out in public and speak these truths from a knowledgeable standpoint and get other people involved. It was really, it brought a lot of peace to my life to be able to use my talents in that way.
We don't have to have someone elected to Parliament for our candidates all to make a major contribution just in informing people in their riding about what's being done. Because these people, otherwise, they believe the mainstream media and have really no idea of what's being done in their environment and by the military. They have such distorted views of these things. So even if one isn't elected, one brings the issues out. And then there's growing awareness of those.
That's so true. You know, I found even talking to the other candidates from the mainstream parties, most of them had no idea that some of these things were going on in the world. We would sit down after the debates and engage in long discussions about some of these issues and ways that we could, you know, even work together to present this to the public. And I found that some of them were completely ignorant to the full spectrum of terror that is being brought upon the Canadian people by our government. And, you know, there were a couple people that were involved. That were knowledgeable about some of these issues, but they were completely fearful. One of our candidates was a Muslim fellow, and he said to me under very hushed voice, you know, after one of our debates, he said, "I can't believe that you talked about the Bilderberg Group and the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations." He said, "You know, as a young blonde woman, you can do this, but if I was to do that, I would be rounded up as a terrorist and put in a concentration camp somewhere." And he was probably true. It was really sad to hear the fear in his voice that he wasn't able within his party to express these concerns to the public. I was really sad.
That's why if people had broader awareness of the Canadian party, I think we'd have people flocking to the party. It is just such a truth party. That's how I see it. We're the only party that's not part of the New World Order system. And many people, we also need people in the other parties to turn, like within their own parties. Like we need the Liberals to take back their party and the NDPs to take back their parties and demand within their own parties the serious addressing of these issues.
That's so true. You know, within all of these parties, too, there are people higher up that are in connection with the elitists who attend these Bilderberg Group meetings, who can attend the Canadian Council of Chief Executives, who grab their mandates and try and push them forward in Parliament. But there are also people who are just unaware of the issues, good people who want to make a difference, who put their names out as candidates, as members of these parties, as organizers, who really want the best for Canadians but are just so misinformed at this point that they have no real way to make an impactful change without getting the information that they need to educate themselves and, you know, put these truths forth to the public. And, you know, even after the election campaign was over, I still get contacted by people in my riding who have said, you know, "You have really opened up my eyes. I had no idea these things were going on, and it changed my life to have this information brought to me in a way that I was able to educate myself and really connect with my fellow man and try and protect my life, my assets, and my family." It's really coming down to people needing this information as quickly as possible. We're really facing some dire consequences in the upcoming months and years if people don't get on board and start participating in their freedom.
Yeah, it is absolutely vital. We have to take this country back. It's I've been reading Paul Hellyer's book called Goodbye Canada, published in 2001, before the 9/11 events happened. And in it, he explained what this new world, he called it the New World Disorder. He has a chapter on it, and he labels, he says, the three main groups, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Group, and the Bilderbergs, and that these elites, through these groups and these international corporate financial elites, they control our government, essentially. And they are involved in actually choosing and selecting and playing out our election processes. And they also control the media, so the public knows really nothing of what the real issues are. It's a complete deception of the Canadian public. I mean, you think how morally outrageous it is that the Canadian military has been taken into a war in Afghanistan, supposedly to fight Muslim terrorists, which really was a complete fraud. And they now are serving in the under these people who have concocted all these nightmares for us. Mm-hmm. And the media comes out, oh, you know, support your truth. They're such pathological liars, knowing the whole time that the war is based on deception.
It's so true. And our military is not independent, is not fighting for the Canadian people anymore. We've really been integrated right under our noses with the American militarized system under NORTHCOM and NORAD and the Ballistic Missile Defense System. And we're really seeing a militarization of even our local police forces. You know, they're preparing for this pandemic without any information as to the risks and consequences for the Canadian people if these agendas go forth. It's I really think that we need to focus on getting this information to our first line of defenders, to our military personnel, to our local police forces, to our doctors and our hospitals and our nurses. These are the people, if they stand forth with us and rise up against this agenda, you know, other people are going to take notice. These are the people that have been put in place to protect us, and we really need them to stand up for our rights right now.
Yeah, we're in a dire situation. These enforced inoculations may cause lifelong illnesses, even death among people. And we don't, the Canadian government has paid for 50 million vaccinations. That was reported in the Ottawa Citizen 3 weeks ago. So that's like
true.
Two for every person in Canada. And then they probably won't take them.
Yeah.
I mean, I say that if there's any enforced inoculations, it should be of all members of Parliament and of Canada and the pharmaceutical companies. They want the enforced inoculations to protect us. Well, then they should get the inoculations, and
that's
then we can die off and they can be safe. That's how it should work.
Yeah. No, I agree fully. You know, even when they sent the body bags the other week to the remote First Nations community who were asking for aid from our federal government, I said on my page, I said, wow, you know, I wonder if that's going to be the same strategy they'll use when swine flu hits Parliament. It would really save us all a lot of grief. You know, not that this is a joking matter at all. This is deadly serious.
I had someone in my extended family the other day, I learned that she had the swine flu. And it was very curious because she was out and she had gotten over it within a couple of days, whatever it was she had. And I asked her, well, how did they know it was the swine flu? And she said, oh, because, well, the main symptom of it is respiratory illness, like difficulties. Okay,
yeah.
Now, at the hospital, they'll trump it up as the swine flu, but what is it really? And what is the combination? Like chemtrails cause respiratory illnesses. Other flus cause respiratory illnesses. But how does she really know that she has a swine flu? You know, other than just some other flu or pollution of some type.
Yeah, it's so true that the science behind this is all so faulty. And when we look at alternative perspectives, there are numerous scientists and biologists and virologists that say there is no way this swine flu could have come about naturally in the environment.
Yeah.
The combination of swine viruses and bird viruses and human viruses, there's no way that these would combine in a natural environment. So, you know, it's very legitimate to consider that this has been released as a biological plague upon us all to gain control of us through the use of military force and the police state tactics. I don't want to sound sensationalist in the least, but we can see that this is the way it's gearing up within just the past few months. You know, even the G20 in Pittsburgh there, the way that the protesters were controlled with sonic weapons and tear gas right away, and the privatization of police forces in the United States, you know, they're putting their ducks in a row and they're trying to get ready to control the populations when we do gain a mass awareness and people start revolting against this. They
And they'll use foreign troops on different countries, and they'll kind of synchronize it through the UN, which has proved to be another kind of Rockefeller elitist organization, which has also become corrupted and maintained the lie of 9/11. It's also fraudulent. It's astonishing. I could never have believed, as a sane person, that I could wake up to such an insane world.
Oh, it's so true. You know, when I started getting involved in all of this, I thought that we would have several years, you know, maybe even decades before it would come to pass that these horrible things that they've been planning against humanity would come to fruition. But you know, the speed and the mechanisms that they're using to implement these policies are just so rapid and so swift. We as individuals need to do all that we can to alert everyone we know to this agenda, give them the information, and let people speak out. This is so necessary. Our government
is
really disregarding our basic rights.
This is Melissa Grade, who I have on the show, and the website for the Canadian Action Party is www.canadianactionparty.ca.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, this is our means in Canada that we have of trying to take back control of our country. And my feeling, Melissa, is also, like, I would work with other people from other parties if they started to turn and were willing to speak the truth. Like, I would endorse other candidates who turned and broke away from the system.
Oh, I agree. You know, and I think that we're going to see a lot more independent candidates in the next upcoming elections. I think that there are people that have dedicated their time and their resources to these mainstream parties. They're completely disillusioned right now with the actions that they're taking. And, you know, the Canadian Action Party is definitely a vehicle for those people. But there are still a lot of Canadians that don't have CAP candidates in their ridings, that don't have CAP visibility in their area, and they're still unaware that the CAP exists. So that's got to be one of our primary goals within the next few weeks and the next few months, is to gain CAP the visibility so that Canadians are aware that they can turn to us, they can participate with us, that they have a vehicle to voice their frustrations and put their skills and talents to use, educating, informing, becoming active, you know, getting this information out there to everyone.
And I found, Melissa, when I woke up, which I don't know if you heard earlier, was only about 3 years ago, and learning about the 9/11 fraud, and I went into these shocking kinds of states, and I mean, it's overwhelming when you kind of, it can be, when you gain all this kind of information about what's being done. And it was afterwards very helpful to me in order to kind of come back to reality and stabilize and have a sense of my own power, to start working with other people and being part of a community of people who share this understanding and to help spread it and become part of it.
I think that
empowers us.
Yeah, I agree. I felt exactly the same way as you. You know, when I awoke, as I said, you know, over the issues of depleted uranium and what was going on in the war, I was paralyzed with fear, literally bedriddled and pregnant for a couple of months until, you know, I continued my research. I tried to find solutions, and I came across the CAP. And finding that there were people out there that cared as much as I do, that were willing to put their effort forth, it was like joining a whole community of people that I instantly loved, that I instantly connected with, that I knew were on the right track, and it just gave me so much peace and so much harmony to be able to put my skills, to be able to put my time forth to helping my fellow Canadians, my fellow members of my community, my family, and my friends. It was such a wonderful experience, and I'm still to this day grateful for the CAP members, the CAP candidates that I met during those years, and you know, that they're a big part of my life still to this day.
Well, we've certainly been through struggles as a party and haven't been able to support our candidates well enough, and we need to develop a whole nother level of organization in our party with district committees in different electoral districts to support candidates, so that people aren't simply trying to do it alone. It's so much. you need networks of people who kind of come out and help and support each other and film things and yeah, work together. We need that kind of grassroots organization, and that's what I think we're trying to bring about through CAPS.
Definitely. You know, we went through a tumultuous time there. It was borderline sabotage what had happened to the party in the past nine
yes.
months to the past year. We lost a large portion of our membership, and there was really a lot of neglect, I feel, that the members felt. They were used to being in constant contact with the party, having the news updates and the information sent to them via email. They were used to being able to pick up the phone and talking to the leader and getting the information that way, and cutting off that connection with the membership was really a last-ditch effort for certain members to establish a top-down hierarchy. And, you know, right now the National Executive is composed of so many amazing members that are doing such a phenomenal job of reestablishing the grassroots structure that CAP was built upon. You know, and we're calling out to our former members that, you know, we need you. We need you back badly. We really, the members are the lifeblood of the Canadian Action Party. We need to expand our ranks at this point, recruit new members, increase their visibility. You know, there's still so many Canadians that are ass deep in mainstream media propaganda who take the nightly news as a gospel, and they'll trust
yeah.
what their government tells them what to do, whether that's supporting for-profit wars or submitting to mandatory vaccines. So we need to find people who are willing to connect with these Canadians and make sure they have access to the information that they need to make informed choices for themselves and their family. We have to assist them in exploring the progressive policies which CAP has formed to protect their freedoms and their assets. You know, we really need to expand our membership at this point, and we need our members to take an active role in our party, whether that's circulating information, donating their time to volunteer for the party, you know, renewing their memberships, or contributing the much-needed monetary support that's necessary for us to surmount the materials we need to compete with the mainstream parties and their massive financial backing. You know, we also need CAP members to consider candidacy. It would be great to see the next federal election come about and for us to have a CAP candidate visible in every community, in every riding across the country, so that Canadians have an option to choose a party that's truly dedicated to them and their freedoms. I'd really love to see that.
Yeah, and we need to act now as if an election's been called, like starting to get at least candidates to be the candidates in line. Like, I think open it up to all CAP members who want to put their name forward to become candidates, and we try to fill in the map to have one in every district in Canada. And then if we have more than one candidate in the district, there have to be some selection at some point and who has the most support.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And for some, you know, considering candidacy is a little bit scary. You know, I was a little bit intimidated myself the first time around, but I found that not only was it an amazing experience for me to get the opportunity to go out and speak these truths on a podium that I had, you know, worked so hard to verbalize to my community even prior to that, but it was fun, you know, to see our incumbent MP turn purple and squirm in his seat when he was confronted with the full spectrum of horrific, egregious acts that his government had been perpetrating on the Canadian
wow.
people was such an eye-opener for the people that attended these debates and got to see
wow.
what was going on. You know, he had no rebuke for the things I was saying other than to
no.
yell at me and call me a communist and put his, you know, finger around his ear and do that sign like I was crazy. But, you know, that in itself spoke volumes to the people. I came with my facts straight, and they had nothing to say to rebuke those facts. They're clear as day. They're available for everyone to find, and we just need to
wow.
steer people in the right direction.
What a model for action, and that is what we need to be doing, and be in on the debates and just undress these people before the public for the crimes and complicity that they're involved in.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really inspiring image that you draw of confronting your elected representative with the facts and such. And they always do that. They never deal with it like rationally or scientifically themselves. They fall into innuendo or using force to have you removed or something.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows that their guilt shows by their very actions. How they run away from the camera. 9/11 truther comes and they run away. They won't talk to them. They'll never explore anything seriously. It's quite disgraceful.
That's so true. You know, we had a very thoughtful and educated person in one of the debates, and he brought up some questions about 9/11 truth, the obvious controlled detonations and the acts of the government after that to supersede our freedoms and take those away from us through police state tactics. And, I spoke about, CAP's call for an international investigation into those events and verbalized some of my own concerns, some of my own research, and the incumbent looked at the audience when it was his turn, and he waggled his finger at me, and he said, she's saying 9/11 didn't. Everybody had heard that that was not what I said, and people afterwards came up and they said, wow, we didn't realize that a lot of those facts were out there. We're going to go and do our research. We never have about this war, and you've given us something to think about. And that's where it all starts, just opening up that window just a little bit so that some of the information can get out there. And like I said, it's different for everyone. Some people are concerned with their health freedom, some people are concerned about the war, some people are concerned about their water and air quality, but all of these things are like a structure in and of themselves, and once you remove one of those blocks, the whole structure comes tumbling down. The information falls upon you almost faster than you can digest it, and it's such a
and it all ties together so neatly that you just get one thread of it and it can undo the whole fabric. Any bit of it, like you take the enforced inoculations and you follow it through, and it'll lead you to the same people as involved in 9/11 and as involved in taking over our societies. And it's always ties into the banking and all CAP's monetary policies, and it ties into the war in Afghanistan, the Canadian public has actually been deceived knowingly about that war and taken us in. Most Canadians, I think, would be morally outraged if they realized the truth of that. Don't you agree, Melissa?
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. Globalist corporate intent, their ideals for profit, their corporate charter of rights forcing them to make a profit are driving so many of these horrible acts upon people. This is murder. This is genocide. And it's all for profit. And their mandates are superseding our own personal rights and freedoms, that these corporations are giving these kind of rights to act within our country in the way that they do is absolutely criminal. This is just criminal that our government supports this agenda. It's just horrific.
Yeah, and I'm sorry for them because, these problems have become so systemic over so many decades that I feel sorry at times for people who come in and they don't know, they don't grasp initially what they're becoming part of, and then they get into it deeper and deeper, and then they kind of could be threatened or blackmailed or kicked out or humiliated or whatever, and they become complicit in their silence.
They feel that they may have to stick with their actions to secure their financial responsibilities to their family or their status within their community, and they know that they're doing wrong, but somehow haven't accessed the full spectrum of the information to understand just how horrifically their actions are impacting other people across this entire globe. When I started researching these nuclear issues, I was absolutely astounded to find out that my tax dollars are funding spreading cancer and radioactive materials all over these war-torn countries. As if it wasn't bad enough, the civilians were facing this occupation, this looming threat. Now they had to worry about the air that they were breathing and the water that they were drinking, and the mothers had to worry about the children they were carrying in their womb. It was just so encompassing. And all
horrendous.
All of it is for profit.
And did you know there has been 300,000 times more depleted products used in Iraq than was used on the bombs in Nagasaki and Hiroshima? 300,000 times as much. And this waste product has like a half-life of a billion years. Like
4.5 billion years.
Absolute desecration of the earth.
Yes.
These people have no respect for life, the elements, nature, anything, God, anything.
No, know, and it spreads. It spreads through the water. It spreads through the tides. It spreads through the prevailing winds. That, you know, this isn't isolated even just in these war-torn countries. This is slowly spreading across our entire globe. This is going to affect the genetics and the DNA for generations to come. You know, the half-life of DU is actually 4.5 billion years. That's longer than the Earth has existed. We have contaminated our planet for eternity, and there's no way to clean this up. There's absolutely no way to harness this destructive polluting power and regain control of it. It's
thanks, Melissa. You're really very eloquent, and I'm just so pleased that you've kind of stepped into this position as interim leader of the Canadian Action Party, and you know, and understand so broadly what the issues are and see the urgency of the situation. I think we may have a caller in the background, Melissa, so I just want to check in to see if we do. Hello, is there someone there? Calvin or Kay? Okay, sorry, Melissa. I guess we don't. Sometimes Don comes in and has a message for me about our guests or not, and I thought there was someone there, but there's not.
Oh,
so I'm
not
sorry to interrupt our flow a bit. But we can just carry on, and if any guest does come in, just say hello, and we'll pause and get to you. So, well, it must have come as a bit of a shock for you when the national executive approached you.
Yeah, I apologize. We still don't have your guests. But we'll keep trying.
Okay. So, sorry, Melissa, I was off air again for a moment. We don't have the guests, so we'll keep going. It must have been a bit of a surprise for you, Melissa, to be approached at that time to be the new leader, but people had, everybody expressed the highest regard for you, and you're really gracious that you kind of stepped into this position. And you're a mother of two children, and face all the other things of a family in Canada trying to survive, and yet you step into a role like this.
I was tremendously surprised, but you know, equally flattered. And I had gotten to know the current members of the National Executive very well through the several months that they were struggling to keep the party afloat, and I had such tremendous respect for each and every one of them and the hard work that they were doing, yourself included. You're such a tremendous asset to the party, Christopher, that, you know, I couldn't possibly say no. I love CAP with all my heart, and I want nothing more than for the party to be a vehicle for the people of Canada to express their concerns. We, you know, I'll do whatever I can to keep this party afloat until there can be a leader elected by the membership. If that happens to be myself or somebody else, you know, I'll support that fully. I'm very excited to have this opportunity for the next few months.
Yeah, well, it's wonderful to have you on board. It's like a breath of fresh air into CAP, and we're moving ahead again. Melissa, we do have our guests, and I'd like to pause for a moment and introduce our guests and then bring him on. And this is someone Melissa has had contact with by email, and I'm going to call our guest Kay, just to keep his identity anonymous. He's a worker in a Canadian medical facility, and he's been confronted with this imposition of enforced inoculations, and is being threatened in his workspace by this threat. Hello, Kay. I'm going to call you Kay. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Maybe you could give us a few details, Kay, just about what your situation is and how you're trying to deal with it.
Well, the situation that I'm working for an Alberta board, it's called the Capital Health Region, and what I do there is I do work in the area with seniors for assisted living. And my board of director, or I guess you could say manager there, had asked me to you know, come and have a sit in a room and talk about the prospects of getting vaccinated with two flu shots and this new H1N1 vaccine. And knowing what I know and doing the research on the web and reading the research, I declined to, you know, put myself forward and say that I want to get this vaccination. And, you know, they were at first being more strong-holded on threatening me to get the vaccination, but I said, you know, if the Creator God said that it was wise for me to get this, it would say it so. But I don't need this, and I'm declining it. You know, I refused it, and I want to put it in writing to them. Sure.
Yeah, good for you to stand your ground with it, Jason. It's so hard. So many people just go along to get along, and they don't realize the seriousness of it. You're lucky that you were well enough informed and hadn't been brainwashed by the public propaganda about these shots.
Yeah, we don't even know the real truth of this H1N1 vaccine, and, you know, now getting the research out there, it's a very scary thing. And it looks like something like a propaganda that they want to use for depopulating, you know, part of the world.
Yeah, we honestly don't know that this isn't a bioweapon being used against us. That's why, like, I think we need to be demanding RCMP and public investigations and hearing on this, because I think we're being presented with quack science through the mainstream media. You know, these people spin everything and tell their lies, and it just all falls apart if you look into it. And now this H1N1 seems to have been concocted in their own bioweapons labs. Mm-hmm. It's all quite outrageous.
It's something out of a novel like 1984, if anyone's watched that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of nightmare world they plan for people. I'd like to, Melissa might have some comments. Melissa, CAP is the only party that actually has a policy against any enforced inoculations that was passed at your convention last summer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's so true. You know, CAP does not support anybody taking any sort of vaccinations that would be forced upon them. And I think the whole precedent trying to force a vaccine on populations who may resist it, you know, says something in and of itself. If this was good for us, if we truly needed it, if all of this was being done in the light of day, there would be no concerns. But there have been health groups, citizens groups, advocacy groups crying out about this. The information is available online. Just on a side note, you know, it was mentioned that this is a population reduction strategy, and I really feel it is. Not to be sensational, but you know, surfing the net yesterday, I came across information about the squalene edge event, and you know, it was right in the patent that squalene emulsified in tween 80 is used as an immunization sterility vaccine on domestic animals. That was found right in the patent application, and
wow.
It was also noted in a further patent that squalene emulsified in tween 80 is used as an adjuvant for the swine flu vaccine. So you know, depending on how far a person wants to dig into this, the information is available, that there are just diabolical acts going on behind the scenes of this.
And which have been committed over the decades.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now we're faced with this worldwide issue, but these crimes have been committed over decades, and the suppression of all the adverse effects to vaccinations, and these people have so taken over our Canadian Medical Association and the education of our doctors, and the research of Health Canada. So, Jason, what do you see as what's open to you as possibilities to oppose this, or do you have any support in your workplace?
In regards to support in the workplace, I would relate to the people I work with are uneducated, and they're going with it. And I know for one fact that I will refuse that. But just speaking on my behalf, my option, I informing people is dangerous because you don't know who you're speaking to. You don't know what you're telling a person, and they could be working for, you know, not thinking about being paranoid, but you just have to be very careful in this.
You certainly do. You certainly do. Mm-hmm. These people have agents, kind of, and you know, people participate in these programs.
Yeah.
It's most.
Oh, on that note, you know, on that note, I'd like to say that this is why it's so important for CAP members to actively participate in the party. Right now, we need to get the money together. We need to get the resources together so that we can go into these healthcare facilities and we can hand the workers these documents, this information, these pamphlets, get everybody up to speed so that gentlemen like the one we're speaking to right now doesn't have to go at this alone, doesn't have to be the only squeaky wheel in the bunch and face persecution from the authorities that are employing him. You know, and I would like to say that right now there is a vaccine exemption form available on vaclib.org. That's www.vaclib.org/exempt/canada.htm. Which may help, and it's also recommended, if anyone was trying to force this on you, to write up, you know, prepare a letter listing why you don't want to take this vaccine, the harmful ingredients such as thimerosal and squalene that are in it, and ask the doctor in charge if he's willing to sign this statement saying that you'll suffer no long-term ill effects from an injection with these substances in your body. And you're going to find that no doctor will sign this. And possibly this letter, along with the exemption forms, would be enough to legally stand up against this.
And I think another avenue also to complement that is that you should approach your union and file a complaint with your union, just like nurses should file complaints with their nursing association and doctors should file them with the Canadian Medical Association. You don't want to be forced to give inoculations you have reason to suspect. That people have to complain to their own labor organizations and professional unions that they're required to stand up for your workers' rights.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. And the only option, I guess, would be to go to the AUP. I guess here up in this part of Canada that I live in, so and see what they would do. You know, because I just really have to be very, very careful. You know, mm-hmm. having my family responsibilities and whatnot. Yeah.
It's an awful situation to even be faced with, and I'm really sorry for you, and we're all facing this situation. It's a terrible plague that might be brought down upon us unless we can deal with this and beat it back before it makes further advances. We just have to wake people up and as you say, Melissa, like will be part of our role in CAP in addressing the enforced inoculations as well as many of these other issues we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're prepared to stand up and speak out on this, but we need help. You know, right now we're a few individuals, and we really need our members to get on board with this and, you know, start actively participating in the party. This is their party. We're here for them, and we welcome and encourage and need their help and support to get this information out as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, we need members. We need donations. We need people coming into our committee work. We need people who run as candidates and people willing to support candidates in your district. We need help at all levels of this organization. And I think, Melissa, we also need to be reaching out to other groups that are trying to tackle in their own way parts of the beast that we're trying to take on, like the anti-war groups and the mm-hmm. Palestinian liberation groups and the holistic health groups and the health food stores and so on.
So true. I couldn't agree more. 100%.
I mean, the 9/11 truthers are sympathetic to CAP, and I hope, you know, they realize that we're honest about wanting an investigation of these crimes, mm-hmm. that we're honest about that. We're not, you know, whereas all the other party leaders, they run away with their tail between their legs if you even ask them about it, and then they just spew lies.
Oh, if the truth about that were to come out, it would cripple the structure that they're working upon. They'll do whatever they can within their power to withhold that information as long as possible. We need numbers in our favor. Just like you said, we need all of the truth groups, all of the peace groups, all the liberation groups. We need everybody working for the same common goals of truth and transparency and freedom. You know, this is about our freedom.
Yeah, and our health care, and I mean, it's really so overwhelming that there really are some people in the world who would create wars and poison people for their own money and power issues and such. It really is quite overwhelming. Jason, I'll give you the opportunity if you had any final comments, and I'll let you go. And I hope you'll keep in touch with CAP and follow us along, and I hope we can give you more support. Any final comments, Kay?
I think what Melissa had to say, CAP is a political organization that has their bearings on the right track, and for those that are looking for, you know, something to tie their beliefs into, CAP is something to definitely look into. And that we have to be informed as responsible sovereign people of Canada to not become sheeple and to take the red pill instead of taking the blue pill. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not to go back to sleep. We need to wake up. We need to see what's being done and wake up. And that's taking the red pill. It's a little stressful at times, but we need to do it, because although we can't avoid facing these issues, because we're either going to be caught unawares, or, you know, we can't, it does no good just to avoid it. Thank you, Kay, so much for coming today, and we'll try to follow up, and maybe we'll have you back another time, learn how things are resolving.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, Melissa, I think we still have about 5 or 7 minutes, so please, anything you'd like to pick up on, yeah.
Oh, there's been so much today.
We really have covered so much, and I mean, it's been inspiring. It's inspiring to hear an actual leader of a federal party that will speak so honestly about what she sees in our country, and realizing the dire situation we're in, and the membership and the committee members, and we all really support you, and thank you for stepping into this role.
Thank you. You know, I appreciate this opportunity. I've wanted nothing more since I became one of the awakened to help others gain this access to the information. That's ultimately what it's all about. The information is out there, but people are just so distracted, so asleep, so manipulated right now that, you know, they'll barely get off their asses to change the TV show, let alone go online and look up the ingredients in the vaccine that they're about to take next month. So, you know, we really need to get this information out into the mainstream, and I don't have complete faith or confidence that the mainstream media will pick up on this, so CAP needs to amass the assets and the resources within the membership, within its volunteers, to make this information accessible to everyone who needs it, which is truly all Canadians, their families, their children. This is a matter of life and death at this point, and if people don't become aware, they're going to suffer serious consequences, and CAP's going to do its part to stand between Canadians and the forces that are trying to bring them down, but we need the support from our members and from potential members. We need to get this information out as quickly as possible.
Yeah. And you know, everything we've said during this show, it's our American friends there online. They're in exactly the same situation, facing the same demons and needing similarly to organize at grassroots level and be waking up and spreading the truth.
It's true. This is a global phenomenon. This is going on in every country of the world right now. Citizens globally are being faced with these choices and faced with these decisions, and we need a global outcry. And I was really heartened to see this week that there are already protest groups and lawsuits coming out of the United States from nurses' unions and doctors and hospitals that are refusing to take this vaccine, and that just clearly goes to show that there are serious questions involved. We need our first line of defense, our healthcare workers, our doctors and hospitals, our police forces to help assist and question this and stand up for their basic human rights. And people are going to take notice. It's very, very heartening to see that already a movement's building against this. And I have complete faith and confidence that the Canadian people aren't going to let this happen. People are going to stand up for their rights, and they're going to participate in reestablishing their freedoms and their rights.
Wow. it's so hard to imagine ever really having a just world again and like a responsible government. It would be a whole new age. You know, we've never been free of this tyranny in modern Canadian history. We just didn't realize it, or I didn't. And I guess you woke up similarly, like you had your period of waking up to the horror of it all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the powers that be might have just overdone themselves this time.
Yeah.
You know, these acts, these proposals against humanity are so horrific that the people are going to wake up and they're going to take notice when their friends and family are dropping like flies from this swine flu vaccine. They're going to take notice when the healthcare workers are protesting on the steps of the hospitals where they're going to take treatments. And they're going to wake up. They're going to question the entire authority, the entire pyramid of scandal that's been put in front of them. And they're not going to take it anymore. I'm very optimistic that this might be the global wake-up call that humanity needs to just shake off these shackles and continue on with establishing a fair and equitable system where everyone is valued.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Melissa Braid. Melissa is the new leader of the Canadian Action Party, Canada's only non-New World psychiatrically disordered party. And it's a party, we want the truth. We want the truth of 9/11. We want to stop the enforced inoculations and chemtrail spraying. We want to beat back the demons at our doors.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Melissa. I hope we can have you back in the future again, and we'll follow the activities of CAP.
Definitely. I'd be happy to participate again. Thank you so much for this opportunity, Christopher.
Thank you. I'll let
have
you go
day.
On that. Okay, so just some final notes. Look up www.CanadianActionParty.ca. Join us. Help us. We need people. We need to come together and create a political alternative within Canada, just as our American friends are creating one within their country and elsewhere in the world. This is Christopher Holmes. Please visit my website, www.zeropoint.ca. I'm putting new chapters from my book, O Canada Lost, The Ascendancy of the Old World Psychiatric Disorder. I'm going to be putting some chapters from that up on my site and hopefully be having them published in a Canadian publication. So exciting times, and it's nice to hear about the renewal of the Canadian Action Party. Okay, so I'll be back in 2 weeks. I hope to do a talk on this Dalai Lama's The Universe Within an Atom, and have some mystical studies, but again, to continue on with our political issues here. Thank you all very much. Thank you, BBS Radio. Back in 2 weeks. Remember yourself. Take heart. Keep heart. Goodbye.